It makes you excited about what's next. What else can I do? That's what I'm always looking for. It's like, okay, so I got the book. I can write a second book on fitness. I'm in the position where they're trying to shop my story for a possible production. That would be great. Now, maybe like I'll be in my mid-60s, 70s, and I will be executive producer of my show. So just don't be afraid to dream. There's so many people that say, oh, no, you can't do that. Why do you think? But why not me?
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels, stories of brave and unapologetic women, 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Reinvention Rebels podcast. I am your host, Wendy. I am so happy that you're joining me. If you're a first-time listener, welcome aboard. This is the place to come for information and so much inspiration about reinventing ourselves at midlife and beyond. I interview the most extraordinary women who have reinvented themselves in interesting, juicy, often remarkable ways to find new purpose and possibilities as they age. We come from the mindset that it's never too late or never too old to be whoever it is we decide we want to be. Reinvention Rebels is a top 2% rated podcast globally. I am so happy to welcome my audience from all around the world. And I am so glad you're here today. In a moment, I'm going to introduce you to my very inspiring guest, Kathy Murray, who you are going to love. She has got such a great reinvention story about how we can flourish in our 60s, be the amazing people we want to be, and how she went about going on this reinvention journey herself. But first, I want to tell you that last weekend I was at my niece's college graduation. It's a big deal. Go, Kendall. I'm so proud of you. It was so exciting because, you know, there are all of these graduates who are bursting with energy and ideas and inspiration. They want to get out in the world and make the world a better place. They want to get up to all kinds of things to help change things in great ways. And that was such a reminder for me about the spirit of a reinvention rebel, someone who is curious and eager and open to possibilities, very much like a recent college graduate. So I believe we can channel that energy from our kids, young adults we know, nieces, nephews, etc., and really take on that spirit as we think about reinventing, doing it from that perspective of a fresh start, new perspective, how we can really ease into things as we proceed on our reinvention journey. So let's use that as inspiration to help guide our path. By the way, did you listen to last week's episode? I really loved it. It was a recording of the session that I did with my friend Kate House. She recently created the Goals with Soul Virtual Summit earlier in May that was so much fun, and I was so honored to be part of it. As part of that, we recorded a podcast episode, and last week I shared that, and it was all about one of the key steps on our reinvention journey, which is looking inside, getting quiet, and tuning into that inner wisdom to help guide our path. I've linked to it in the show notes. It's a great listen. And just a reminder that there is wisdom in stillness. I run around a lot. I try to get more quiet, still, and present. That really helps those ideas bubble up. And I think they might help you too. So I encourage you to check that out. Without further ado, I am excited to introduce you to the very amazing Kathy Murray. Can you imagine moving to a foreign country and struggling with a new language and dealing with overt racism? That forms the basis for one of Kathy Murray's first reinventions as an award-winning cheerleader coach for the Munich Cowboys. That alone is a fascinating story. But Kathy is no stranger to reinvention. In fact, she's had multiple reinventions, from fitness guru and gym owner in Atlanta to first-time book author at 60, chronicling her story with the Munich Cowboys. She's also challenged her fear of swimming to compete in numerous triathlons and become a fierce multi-sport competitor even after a hip replacement. But what I love most about her reinvention story is her involvement in the Atlanta Tri-Sisters, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to introduce triathlons to the Black community. She is helping to shatter the tired stereotype that Black people don't and can't swim. I can't wait for our conversation and uncovering Kathy's insights about her multifaceted reinvention journey. Kathy Murray, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. It's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am thrilled that you're joining me. I know that a great conversation is going to happen, and you just have a really interesting background, Kathy. I want to start our conversation by asking you a little bit about your first big reinvention. It was when you were younger and you up and moved to Germany, which most of us don't do, right? Which is maybe a more manageable reinvention. I know that you were in unfamiliar territory as both an expat and as a person of color. Plus, you had to learn a whole new language and culture. What was that like? And what was the biggest lesson you learned about yourself?
That was probably in my early 30s. I had just come off of a national aerobic championship. Then I went into medical sales. So I was currently in medical sales. And I realized that the corporate life was not for me. I just thought, you know, you try to picture yourself 5-10 years out. And I was like, okay. And I was already at 5 years at this point. And I thought, this isn't going to work long term. Now, I had always stayed in the fitness. I was teaching group fitness at the gyms. And I had the opportunities to go to Munich to teach as a fitness educator. A friend of mine was they were hiring. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I know this is what I love. Fitness is my passion, but the corporate was not. So I told my parents, look, I got this job in Germany and I want to go. And they were looking at me like,
are you crazy?
No. Yeah, are you crazy? You don't know the language. What are you doing? You just got your degree. You know, you have all this, you know, company car, stock options. What are you doing? So I just said, you know, I have to go because I need to know if I can always go back to corporate. That's always my safety net, but I'm getting paid. I'm going over here. I'll work it out. So that's how I got to Munich, and I was based there and actually, you know, worked in other countries. So that was way before Google Translate.
Right?
So there was talking to your phone and text. You just had to, you know, I had a little small pocket dictionary. I did go to school, but if you want to learn a language, no matter what country, you go there and live, you have no choice but to speak and try to work it out. So that was a huge thing with the culture. And then, you know, the racism was difficult. That's when I learned everyone doesn't like Americans. Even like the white Americans, they were like, you know, do you know what happened to me today? So that's what I chose to do at that time. So I was just like, suck it up, do it. This is what you want to do. This is what you love doing. So that was my first reinvention and my first challenge.
That is so interesting. And one of the things that I hear in you talking about this is that you leaned into your passions and you let that lead the way. And I think that's so important when it comes to reinvention, whether we're younger and reinventing ourselves or we're in midlife or older and reinventing, that we have to have that desire that you had, especially to do something like moving to another country where you don't know the language.
Correct.
So there's got to be something bigger that's inspiring you to do that. And I think that's such an important ingredient. And then, as you said, well, I got there and it was difficult, but I did it because it feels like you had that passion because something bigger was driving you.
Right. Fitness was just, I was all about fitness and actually teaching others to be in fitness. So I was a fitness educator. And then because I had the background of cheerleading from from 12 years all the way up into college, I was on the national championship team for the Ohio State University. So when they asked me, hey, we heard that you're a cheerleader And they asked me to coach these cheerleaders that were totally clueless. They cheered for American football. So even though they were German, they cheered in English. And just the drive to get them on the stunts and learning the American sport. And then, you know, we ended up going to a championship, and then we ended up winning. I think we ended up winning 6 or 7 national championships and 2 European. So you never know what God has planned for you to come into a situation like this and make lemonade out of lemons.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes we can't always see what's ahead of us. Obviously, none of us can read, or most of us at least cannot read the future. But
right.
I love how you use these different skills that you had. That you have these talents, they were really being used for, you know, in service of other people.
Correct.
To help them. And I think that that's something powerful when it comes to reinventing, even though that might not have been your intention when you got there, right? I'm just going to go and do my fitness thing. That's something that grew out of,
right,
this reinvention. And I think that that's often what happens, though, that we can evolve in our reinventions, and one thing can lead to the next. What would you say is the biggest lesson you learned from moving to Germany, learning this new language, being part of this award-winning team and leading these young women? What was most impactful for you about that?
I think that, you know, when I was writing the book, it was about trusting God, you know, to bring you through. I mean, there was times I was in my room crying, you know, I was homesick.
Sure.
I was like, because when you don't know the language, it's very isolating because people are talking around you and you don't understand. So trying to learn the language, I had great German friends that would help me. Even the cheerleaders, they speak English, some of them. I mean, they have to have it in school. So they always try to practice their English. And I remember saying, don't speak English to me. I have to struggle and stumble and, you know, work this out. That's the only way I'm going to do it. But a lot of the adversities, which I don't think I thought about until I started writing the book, with police pulling me over and constantly just being shoved and pushed. It's just one of those things that I chose to live there. That just kind of came with it. You know, I could always leave if I didn't like it. So luckily I am a very resilient, have a very resilient personality where if someone said, if I'm challenged, I'm like, okay, bring it. Let's, you know, I'm going to try to do the best I can. And then of course, trusting God.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Rebels are amazing. As you can hear from our discussion, they've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes. Yeah, I heard that combination of faith, which is so important, and resilience that you mentioned, because you're right, you made a choice and you didn't have to stay, but it was clearly worth you staying despite some of the things that happened, being pulled over by the police and not knowing the language, but learning it over time, and the challenges of racism that you confronted. Those, although I can see, built your resilience.
Yes, it definitely did.
And I think that's important because I think that sometimes those experiences we have, we don't always know where it's going to lead to, but
that's correct.
Right. But we can certainly use those things later on in life, because obviously you've had subsequent reinventions as a midlife woman, each one of them really unique. What has been the biggest challenge as you reinvented yourself in midlife?
Midlife, I would say trying to, you know, with my business, starting my personal training business, trying to put that entrepreneurial hat on, having people, you know, when you first start out, you're trying to do everything. Yeah. You know, you're trying to do the books, you're trying to train. I had a studio that had several trainers. So you have to say, I can't do it all. You know, I have to start hiring a bookkeeper. You know, a friend of mine would come in a couple times a week and help me with books so I could train and focus on that in my business. So I think with that learning when, in midlife learning when to ask for help, because you can't do it all. And, you know, you try, but you're burnt out trying to balance things in life, you know, being able to have some type of social life versus work, work, work. So those things, I think, come with age, kind of spinning our wheels when we're younger. And then as we become older, we say, you know what, I can balance it out and choose what I'd like to do and make it fun also.
I think that that's so key. And what you said about, I realized I didn't have to do it all by myself. Mm-hmm. Is a powerful lesson to me, especially for women, because we tend to take on a lot. We want to get everything just right.
Exactly.
So now we have all these balls spinning in the air and something invariably falls because it's right. It's so hard to maintain all that.
Or we
make ourselves sick trying to do it, or the stress. I mean, something has to give. So I appreciate this idea that not only can I get help, but it's an investment in myself and my own self-care by doing that.
That is correct. So, you know, and I think with the midlife thing too, with, we talked about health challenges, you know, then you start going through the whole hormonal thing and you're dealing with work and that. And then I had to have a hip replacement. And then, so the resiliency, again, that helps, and you to figure it out as you keep reaching these different stages in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a difference that makes when we have that. I'm going to chalk it up to a lot of it is wisdom. With age comes wisdom. And, you know, because you, as you mentioned earlier, like when I was younger, like I was clueless.
Clueless. We all were.
I think back to how little I knew. And that is one of the advantages of aging. I appreciate where I am now. And as much as, yes, you know, we can say we liked our bodies better maybe when we were younger or things were different, I wouldn't trade that for anything. I would much rather be enjoying my older midlife body with the wisdom and experience I have and the knowledge, like, it's all going to end up okay. When I was younger, I had no clue. I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, so much angst about things.
Right, right. And I think that helps when you, you know, I have a tri-sister who's like in her 40s, and it's been so nice to just talk to her and say, look, this stuff is not worth it. Just here. Let me, if I could tell my younger self, but let me give you that advice, because I didn't have anyone giving that to me, you know, that was older at the time. So just letting them know that it does get better.
Exactly. And speaking of tri-sisters, I know that you have done this amazing work with this organization, which to me feels like a reinvention, reinventing yourself as a coach to these women. Can you tell us more about Tri-Sisters and the work that you're doing and what that looks like as you help them reinvent?
I'd love to. I was a runner biker in my, 30s, 40s, and I was in a bike group and they had this multi-sport, which is, you know, different sports. It's called a duathlon. So you run and you bike. So actually you run and then you bike, then you run again. So I was doing a lot of that. And one of my friends said, you know, we should try this triathlon. We should try to swim. Now I knew how to swim, but not like that. this is open water. This isn't just like swim down the pool. It's in a lake. Right. It's in a big body of water. And I remember thinking, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do this together. We're going to take lessons. They have different stroke clinics to tell you how to do the form and all of that. So we went through that. We picked what race we were going to do. And probably two months before the race, my friend said, I can't do this. It's too hard.
Oh, no. Like, you're like, excuse
me? You
talked
me into it?
Right. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. So I was like, I've invested time and money into lessons and in the pool. I said, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it by myself. Where at this time in the early 2000s, there weren't any tri-sisters or Black triathletes. There wasn't any groups. I had one friend who was a Black athlete. He was a guy. And I would just ask him, okay, so what do I do with this? I was just kind of making it up as I went along, got to my first race. And I had a fear of swimming in the open water. You know, if my feet were touching, I was good. I mean, I could tread water and do, but I didn't want to go out too far. And I thought, okay, this is really going to help you overcome open water fear if you can get in this sport. I got in my first race. They all were there to support me. I was the last one to come out of the water. But when I came out of the water, I thought, okay, got it. I got on the bike, you know, now the race was on. I got on the bike, get to swim. And I just started challenging myself. Okay, now we got to get a little bit better with the swim. So this went on. And it's great because I still see some tri-sisters that said, I remember seeing you in 2000. And I was like, wait, there's a Black woman racing? No one was doing it, you know, but me. And that really inspired them to say, I want to try that too. So now we have the tri-sisters. And I got involved with this group in 2018. I had my hip replaced. And I thought, luckily I had a surgeon that said, yes, you can race. Cause so many surgeons were like, nope, no running, no this, no that. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to come back after a year, race. I always swam and biked still after my hip replacement. And I thought, I want to come back big. So Tri-Sisters do a race in St. Anthony's. We just went last week. It's in St. Pete. It's an ocean swim.
Oh.
So I'm going to come back and I'm going to do an ocean swim. And we started doing this in 2018. And then this will be my third year doing it. But just this group of women, you know, you have from the 20s all the way up to their 70s. You have stay-at-home moms. You have students. You have retired professionals, you have doctors, you have lawyers, you have judges, and all these women are on the same playing field. We help each other. We have a race that is a pool swim for those just starting. We train them for 6 months. We have a swim coach that comes in, you know, they pay, of course, their fee for the month. And then I'm their strength coach. So I'm like, this is what you have to do to be stronger in this sport. And then we have like a run bike. So we're introducing more of us to this sport, and it's such a great group, and you're supporting each other, you know, and it's just been great. And Julie Walker, she started this in, I believe, 2011, 2012, with just a few women. And we have probably about 40 members now, 40, 50 members getting in triathlon.
I love
it's
that.
Just wonderful.
It really is. And I think there's something powerful about seeing someone that looks like me for whoever that is for any of us, right? A woman or someone in a wheelchair or someone who's a certain age, but someone that you can identify with that's doing something that you say, I wonder if I could do that. And then you see what they've done and then you have the opportunity to get coaching to realize, well, if Kathy can do that,
right,
I bet I could do that too. And
yes, it's been great.
I think that's so empowering. Plus, the whole stigma about Black people and this idea that we can't swim.
Right.
Between, you know, these stereotypes that have existed forever that we can't swim. And then often the angst we have about our hair when it comes to swimming, I think it can be such a barrier. It has been such a barrier. And I know things are different now because so many of us have natural hairstyles.
Natural hair.
It makes it so much easier.
That's correct.
You know, to do those things. But I love this idea of the role modeling that you provide to these women and then the possibilities that they can then see.
And we do things like that. Okay, this is what kind of conditioner you should use. This is kind of hair. These are the swim caps that are more conducive to our, you know, thick hair. This is what kind of bra you should get if you're, you know, if you're running, or, you know, this kind of shorts you should get if you're biking, and if you're chafing, use this cream. So you know, we help with all of that. Biking and buying a new bike or even borrowing a new bike until you know you want to invest in this sport. So it's been a labor of love for me to help to be with this group. And we went down to Florida, it's probably our fifth or sixth years, and they see us coming. They're like the Atlanta Tri-Sisters. And not only are we racing, we're podium. We're getting first, second, third. We're winning age groups from 20s all the way up to 70s. We were representing as well. It was just wonderful to see.
I would imagine that the women who are a part of this, who get to be mentored by you and the other coaches, that for them, it probably also feels like a reinvention about what's possible for them and their bodies and what they can achieve.
Yes, It's just to see the first timers, they race on Saturday and the ocean swimmers race on. It just, there's words that can't even describe when they come out of that water and they're like, oh my gosh, I did it. Now I'm on to the bike. And then when you see them come across the finish line, they're just smiling and it was work, but yeah. It was fun. And then they want to do it. Well, next year, they're already talking about what they're going to do next year. You know, and oh my, my swim's going to be better. I'm going to increase my time, you know, so it's just awesome to witness.
That's so encouraging. Plus, I feel like when we have an area of our life where we've really been able to reimagine it mm-hmm. with the effort, because it is a lot of effort to be a triathlon, like let's be real. That's like a lot of practice time, a lot of doing the things, none of which I like. Well, I like biking, but that, like, you know, I've got bad knees. I don't like to swim. But I think it's such a fantastic and inspiring story. And while I might not do that, I imagine that people listening might be saying, wow, you know, that is so cool. I didn't even know this existed. I would love to try that. And just expanding the bounds of what's possible in whatever way that might manifest for us, to me, is some of the beauty of reinventing ourselves.
It really is.
It can be boundaryless if we want it to be.
Exactly.
Hey, Rebels. Do it scared. Do it anyway. You know, that is my motto. We got to go for it, even when we're not sure, even when we're nervous, even with the butterflies in our stomach. I know, you're like, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I have been there. We have all been there. But what if you took that leap? What if you tried it out? What if you took that very first step? I want to encourage you to download my Do It Scared, Do It Anyway cheat sheet to help you get started. I've got questions for you. I've got questions to help you move away from that fear into possibility and motivate you to get started. I know our path isn't always clear and we will figure it out, but this is a simple way to get you into action toward your reinvention dreams. Details are in the show notes. Kathy, you are shattering the notion that there's a time limit to reinvention. We honestly can reinvent ourselves at any age or any stage. What advice do you have for midlife women who feel the need for something new, but they are afraid to dip their toe in to that reinvention pool, so to speak? What's one thing that they could do to get started?
I think the biggest thing, no matter what they want to do, whether it's something physical like I'm doing or even the writing or what have you, I think it helps to find a support group, whether it's with triathlons. I have a swim coach that continues to work with me and really, really pushes me. But then I have my tri-sisters that help with that. And then when I was approached about writing, I had a great co-author. My client is a multi New York Times bestseller. She does historical fiction. Her name is Martha Hall Kelly. She's a client of mine. And she's the one that said, you're always talking about Germany and the Munich Cowboys cheerleaders and all this stuff that you went through. So when Audible came to her, they said, we want you to give us a story to write for an Audible original. She said, your story is so inspiring. Let's do it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've never written in my life. But she helped me with the writing. We had a great editor. And you just learn to embrace. You read what you can regarding being an author, new author. So it's just so nice not to be kind of stuck in a rut, but you have a support group that's going to support and encourage you.
I think
that's probably the
biggest
thing. Yeah. No matter what you decide to do.
I think that you're so right about that, that idea of community, which can be one person, it could be several people, it could be a big group of people, because part of what I hear is that you have different communities that you belong to, right? You have this like writing community and you have your tri-sisters community and I'm sure others, and those things can help support us as we kind of take those steps. As you so beautifully explain with the book. And tell us again the name of the book.
Okay. It's an Audible book. Now, there's so many people that when the Audible book came out, everyone was like, you know, I normally read. If you have not done an Audible book where you're listening to a narrator narrate your story. It is wonderful. And it's called The Munich Cowboys Cheerleaders. And it's about my story when I moved to Germany in the 90s and leaving corporate and just the whole leaving my family and going to a foreign country and traveling and dealing with these teenagers. The cheerleaders were from 14 to 20. So I'm not only dealing with teenagers and girls at that age and teaching them anew to trust you as a coach. It's been great. They're in their 40s now, moms, you know, professionals. And when I did the book, it was so great for them to say, I still remember you saying this, you know, I remember you telling us that you have to work together as a team. And I tell my team at work, they have to do this. So they took these principles that I didn't think that they were even listening to at 15, 16. And now in their adult life, I tell my child, you know, you just got to work harder. You know, that's been really gratifying to know that you've touched their lives, even it was cheerleading, but you touched their lives. So the Munich Cowboys Cheerleaders, and it's on Audible.
I love it. I love it. What?
It was pretty cool.
What a story and a way to chronicle this reinvention, because really it's about your reinvention story, right? And all that you went through. And I think that's really motivating, inspiring for people, because I find that I get so much from hearing other people's stories. Mm-hmm. And it might not be my story. It might be something that I'll never do because, yeah, I was always uncoordinated. I had bad knees. I can go through my whole laundry list, Kathy, about how I'll never be a triathlete, but that's okay because I get inspiration from hearing other people's stories, because it reminds me that I might not do that particular thing, but hearing the inspiration from someone else's story helps remind me that I can have my own reinvention on my terms in
Correct.
A way that works for me about what I'm passionate about. And that to me is compelling and so universal that, you know, people have so many different stories. I've heard so many different stories from the women I've interviewed, always inspiring and just shining that light on the possibility that exists within all of us. So I love that you wrote this book. I love that you connected with your client. I love how you built this community. And I love, you know, all these different stepping stones you've had along your path as you've figured it out. So we'll put that in the show notes so people can link right to your book as well as other ways to contact you. Kathy, as you think about your many reinventions over quite some time, if you had to give the collective, I've reinvented myself many times, Kathy Murray, if you had to give that a theme, what would that be for you?
I always go to a great quote. I always look it up at the, it's above my desk with all my Bible verses and all my motivational things. But the one thing I'm always looking at is if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Uh-huh. You know, we have to get uncomfortable. It's almost kind of like the oyster thing. You know, you got the grinding and, you know, that type of thing. And then you have this beautiful pearl. When I started going back and reliving my story for the book, I thought, wow, if you didn't have all these changes, all these challenges that were constantly thrown in your way, it would not have, this helped make you the person, especially in my 30s. It has helped make the person, you know, who I am today, because I did go through all of that. And if I can inspire anybody to continue to reinvent themselves, you know, I'm writing a fitness book on my journey. And because I've been through all of that for, you know, 20, 30 years. So I would say if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. So don't be afraid to be challenged. It'll change you for the better.
I really like that, because I find that challenges help me learn the biggest lessons.
Correct.
If it's just easy, you don't have as much skin in the game. You're just kind of going with it. But when you have to put in the effort that you're talking about, like the effort to learn German, the challenge of dealing with all the cultural differences and the racism, the challenge of teaching these girls what you were doing and then to form them into this award-winning team. I mean, if it was easy, you wouldn't appreciate it nearly as much.
That's exactly right.
But that struggle, right?
Yes. So when that's what I love about the multi-sport, because I just raced and this weekend, and I've been doing this for a long time, but unfortunately in Florida, the weather was really bad and I had to cycle in 25 mile an hour winds with a 35 mile an hour wind gust. I mean, people were literally being blown off their bikes. And I was like, oh my God. So I've been in this for 20 years and I'm thinking, okay, it should be getting easier. No, that was my hardest race, but I got through the race. I had a great time. And then I ended up getting first place in my division. So that's when you say that nothing worth having is easy. And that's what I would always tell my team, my cheerleaders. Said, I had a mantra and I would carry these cards with them. And it was, pain is only temporary. Victory is forever. And I was telling them, when we go out there and they call us for first place, all the, my elbow hurts, I hurt my knee, all of that is gone because this is the prize to go through all of that hard work. So it's still here in my everyday life with the racing. So that's all that stuff, going through the wind for 35 mile an hour for 25 miles, sitting up there with my little medal.
It was all worth it in the end.
Good, right?
Right? It was all worth it in the end.
Exactly. So that's exactly what you have to do.
Yeah. That's sort of like what they say about having a baby. You know, they say it's so painful, but then you forget about it.
Exactly.
Right? Because then you're through it. And then you're like, all right, that thing, right? So I can see that the same thing. And congratulations, by the way, for enduring all of that, because I would have been like, what the freak? What am I doing? You know, I would have had all this negative self-talk as I was trying to stay on my bike.
Right. And just praying and pushing.
Yeah.
I was praying and pedaling.
I love it. Praying and pedaling.
Yes.
Oh. Girl, I love that. I love that. Oh my gosh. You are so inspiring. And
thank you, Wendy.
You know, one of the things that's great is that back in April, I had my friend Delia Douglas Ingram on, who lives in Canada, and we met on Instagram, and she really is inspiring. She totally changed her life in midlife with her fitness journey and now really inspires people on Instagram about it. And this is such a great corollary to that about what's possible. I mean, any time in our life, but certainly in midlife, when we can get down on ourselves, when we don't always feel great about our changing bodies, when, as you mentioned before, the hormones kick in and everything is like a little awry. But at the same time, we can create something amazing. Yes, we have those challenges. But as you point out, when we're willing to work through them, when we're willing to challenge ourselves, when we have our eye on the prize of something that inspires us, like fitness for you, yeah, this passion that is inspired really all of your reinventions as an author, as a cheerleading coach in Germany, as a triathlete, right? Mm-hmm. This passion that you have, that when we have that openness in midlife or anytime, we can really do anything.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And it makes you excited about what's next. What else can I do? That's what I'm always looking for. It's like, okay, so I got the book. Can write a second book on fitness. I'm in the position where they're trying to shop my story for a possible production. That would be great. Now, maybe like I'll be in my mid-60s, 70s, and I will be executive producer of my show. So just don't be afraid to dream. There's so many people that say, oh, no, you can't do that. Why do you think? But why not me?
I say that all the time. Why not me? Why not you? Why not any of us? We can do anything.
Yes. Get like this past season with like Sherilee Ralph and some of these actresses that have been doing it for all this time. And then they're now getting these accolades with her acting, which we know she's been around forever. Or Viola Davis, she's a very inspirational. I look at the energy of that too. Like, wow, you know, they never gave up. So that, you know, that type of thing that inspires you, listening to other people's stories, inspires me also.
Yeah, right? We can never get enough of that. And I am so grateful you joined me today. And I have to ask you this final question, because people are listening and saying, Kathy is so inspiring. I need to follow her. The question is, where can people find you on social media, your website? How can they find out more about Kathy?
They can definitely get all my social media on my website. My website is Fit Bodies. So it's FIT-Bodies, BODIES.net. So fitbodies.net, and my social media, Instagram, Facebook, all of that is you can find. You can order the book on that also. And I'm a personal trainer, so it has, you know, my information about personal training, which I do virtually now.
Oh.
With the, yeah. So I have clients, and I'm in Atlanta, but I have clients in New York and New Jersey and DC and Connecticut. And so that's been,
I love
if anything has come out of, you know, the whole pandemic, I've been forced to do more online, but it's great. I can reach more of my clients now. We train online.
That is fantastic. And if you look at Kathy's website, you'll see just how strong and fierce she is. She is seriously in shape and is a testament to what 62 can be. It can be anything we want it to be. And we can be strong and fit in our bodies. Kathy, I cannot thank you enough for joining me today. This was awesome.
It really was. I enjoyed myself.
We're going to link to all of the sites you mentioned in the show notes so people can easily find you. And someday we're going to have a Where Are They Now episode and find out what's happening next with Kathy Murray as she continues her reinvention, right? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Stay tuned for many more awesome things to come. So thank you, Kathy. Thank you for gracing me with your presence. Ooh, I loved this interview with Kathy. I loved the wisdom that she shared. I love the possibilities that exist for all of us, each in our own way. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to be doing triathlons. I've got my creaky, semi-arthritic knees. I hate swimming, biking. I don't really like biking on the road. So you can see that's not for me, but I can have my own reinvention. And I've had many, just like probably you. And you can be on your own path too. Let's use this episode with Kathy as our motivation to be open to new possibilities, to think about what we might do. She's amazing. And so are you. And if this episode motivated and inspired you, please share it with someone who could use a boost or just loves to be inspired. Her story reminds me that anything is possible for any of us. On that note, I cannot wait to see you next week for another episode of the Reinvention Rebels podcast. Until then, keep shining your light. The world needs you and all that you have to offer. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help as your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast. I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.